We're going to talk some about love here in a minute. And we need to remember that love is the love of God, not the love of the world. We desperately need God's love. We desperately need to manifest God's love. And that's bestowed upon us in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He says, firstborn, speaking of Christ, He's the firstborn from the dead. But God only has one begotten Son, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit of God. Last week we talked about whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. We tried to spend the whole time talking about the Christ of God. To understand and realize that God was manifest in the flesh, that the second person of the Godhead, we'll get to that in a moment, the living Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us, that He suffered, bled, suffered greatly at the hands of wicked, evil men, bled and died to satisfy the wrath of God on the sins of God's people. What an overwhelming act of love and grace, and that is the love that's upon us, that we realize through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John said, whosoever, Jew or Gentile, believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Some people get carried away with that because they read Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and try to portray that in such a way that anybody in the world can call upon the name of the Lord. But we prove that to be not true here, because He plainly tells us, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Who's born of God? The children of God. Those He gave to the Father. Those that God chose in the covenant, in the Godhead, before the foundation of the world, in His purpose that His Son would be glorified, exalted above all sin, death, and even life itself. When He delivers up the kingdom and He is the head, will be above all as Lord of lords and King of kings. And we will realize that it won't make Him Lord of lords and King of kings. He's already the Lord of lords and King of kings. But it will be manifested and He will be glorified. That's all the work of God. And everyone that believes that Jesus is the Christ, the one who died for us when we were at enmity with God, they're born of the Spirit of God. That's the only way. And I'll say this again, life must precede action. You cannot believe if you were dead. You have to be born of God. God quickens us and gives us life. Then He says, and everyone, individual person, each and every one that loveth Him, Christ, that begat God and Christ, the Godhead, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. We're at such a time in the history of this nation and such a society, I have to stop every day. It angers me greatly, and I'm telling you my nature here. I'm not talking about the Lord, because He fails not and is not approachable of anything wrong. But I have to stop and pray every day because I get angry. So a little boy shot last night in the mall. It makes me so angry. The way people that are God's children are carrying on in this world makes me angry. The way we've turned away from God, and then we wonder why in the world the nation suffers like it does. We have forsaken God. I say that to make a point that I have to repent of it. God has placed a love in us. That love is there. We have to stand in faith of God, as Sister Beverly was talking a moment ago from Romans 5. We need to stand in faith. Faith is to know, to believe, to be sure that Jesus is the Christ, to be sure that God is working His will in heaven and earth, to be sure that Christ has died for us, to be sure that He saved His people from the sins. And I have a hope, an earnest expectation, that you sitting here are His children because you love Him. And to say that, you love Him because He first loved us. We covered that a week or so back. He loved us when we were unlovable when we were at enmity with God, when we were dead in trespassing sins. God loved us. God sent His Son, the Christ, Jesus Christ, the anointed Savior, to save us from our sins. Making the point that everyone that loveth God, Him that begat, He that gave us life, He that sent His Son into the world, also, Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That means we love each other. That means that God has placed His Spirit within us. We're born of God. We are the children of God. We have unity. We have a union with Christ, who is the firstborn from the dead, the only begotten Son of God, the Christ. And therefore, because He loves us, we love Him. Because He loves us, we love each other, because we are begotten of Him. We walk, let me rephrase that, let me speak personally. I walk through the week in frustration, in sin, in lack of faith. I have to stop and pray, Lord, help me, this is going to consume me. The evil in the world that troubles me. But when I get here, and the Lord is here with us, and I see the few of you that are here in this congregation, and we come together, I have a smile on my face because I have a smile in my eyes because I have a smile in my heart. I love you, I love you, I love you. And the reason I love you is because you're my brothers and you're my sisters and God loves you. And we stand together in the grace of God in this dark, sinful world striving to serve the Lord Jesus Christ who gave Himself for us. That great love that's beyond man's comprehension. By this, he's going to tell us, by this we know that we love the children of God. We're going to know, he's telling us how we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. Mentioned earlier in this series, John 14 and 15, the Lord telling us that He said, I give unto you a new commandment, that you love one another. It's not a new commandment, it's an old commandment. It was from the beginning that man would love each other, but sin entered the world, and Satan plants hatred within our heart. We're not to love evil, we're not to love wickedness. We're going to come to a point in this text later on where he says we're not to pray for certain people. We're not to pray for the wicked, we're not to love the wicked. We're to pray for the purpose of God in this world. We're to pray for God's children. We're to pray for our families. We're to pray for our nation. We're told to pray for our leaders in charge. We're to pray and we're to love each other as best we can. We cannot love in the sense of brotherly love the wicked. We're told not to pray for them. Just try to live as peacefully as we can with them. And at this point in time, we have been able to do so. Although that seems to be getting more difficult. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Everything contained in the law teaches us to love God first and foremost and to love our brother and our neighbor as ourselves. We are told to love each other. We can't love by our nature. We have to be born of God to have love within us. When we're in our nature, God is not in us. We're still reprobate concerning the faith, but when God touches His child and plants His Spirit within him, when He plants Christ in him, then He has that love, and we're able to love each other. Our duty is to follow the law, not the letter of the law, but the perfect law of liberty to love each other. He said, for this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Love is the fulfilling of the law. To love your brother, pray for your brother, to help them in any way that you can, to express love. If you have a child or you have a brother, you would do anything to help them in nature. If my brother needed help, I would go help him. If I need help, he comes and helps me. That's an express brotherly love. Now you put that small amount of love that we have, that we can stand to bear, which is from God, because we have a measure of faith. We cannot withstand the fullness of the Spirit of God because we live in these sinful bodies. You compare that to the love of Christ who came to this world while we were at enmity with Him and died for us that we might be just in the eyes of God. That's how we're told to love each other. And the closer we get to that, the more we have peace in this world. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Everything in the law was grievous. Everything in the law was tedious. What did it call the veil? Cunning work. Cunning work. The veil in Exodus 25, 26. It was called cunning work. It was tedious. It had to be put together in the law. It was meant to show us how only God can love, how only God can do this work. It was cunning. It was hard for them to do in the law. From the veil to everything else, when the high priest would enter into the veil and would sacrifice the lamb that God commanded them to sacrifice, all pointing to Christ entering into the veil, all pointing to Christ who is the Lamb of God, who would fulfill the law and the prophets. We're not bound by laws and rituals and ceremonies and feasts. We are bound together in perfect liberty in the love of God in Jesus Christ. It's not grievous to love. It's not like having to carry that altar and that temple and the ark of God and all those things with us everywhere we go. For Christ is within us and He carries us everywhere we go. It's not grievous. It's not hard. It's not in commandments. It's in love. And God is love. It's in Christ. For whatsoever, notice He does not say whosoever, because this is dealing not just with a man, although it is the children of God. He's talking about whatsoever. The new creature. The child of God, born of the Spirit. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now we know that if we're born of God, we overcome the world. We know that when the last day comes, when the Son of God appears in the eastern sky, that the dead in Christ shall be raised up. Those which are alive and remain shall be called up with them. We shall meet the Lord in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Nothing can change that. Nothing can stop that. We have overcome the world in Christ, because Christ hath defeated the devil. He's defeated death. And when Christ returns for those the Father gave Him, each and every one will come to Him in heaven in immortal glory, body, spirit, and soul. And they will forever be with the Lord. And He tells us a little farther in 1 Thessalonians that we're appointed unto that salvation. Now, let's look at what the text is talking about. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Daily living, temporally speaking, in this world, some people call it time salvation. I have no problem with that. I'd rather choose to call it temporal salvation. Daily in this world, we overcome the world when we love God and keep His commandments. Remember where this started in John chapter 1. Remember the purpose for John writing these epistles. He was the last of the apostles. They'd all passed away. This is about 90 AD. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The church was suffering heavy persecution, both physically and spiritually. Antichrist were in the world as they are today, deceiving the children of God. As Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeketh who he may devour. Some are devoured physically, some are devoured spiritually. It is a sad thing to see a child of God leave the church. I have done that before in my life. I have been away. I thank God for the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. I thank God for the mercy of the church in Jesus Christ. Because by the grace of God and by the love of my brethren, I'm here now again. That's the love we're to have for each other. That's the love of Christ. He came to save sinners. And that's what we are by our nature. And that's what we are as long as we live in this body. And Satan seeks every day to devour children of God. But we've overcome the world. And we overcome the world daily as we walk and keep the law of God, not the letter of the law, the grievous commandments that God gave to Moses that were religious ceremonies that we were to do, but the love of God in our hearts when we come here and smile and love each other. We can't shake hands right now because we have this wicked disease among us, but when we can shake hands, when we can hug necks, when we can smile, when we can see each other, when we can express the love of Christ in us and the love of Christ with another. We overcome the world daily in loving each other. We overcome the world daily in loving God. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. I've been in situations before, some at work, being shot at, and in all sorts of situations, and you don't worry about it because you know that no matter what happens, God does not forsake you. If I die, I'll be with the Lord. If I walk around without a mask and I die, I'll be with the Lord. There's only two options. You'll get well or you'll go see Jesus. Either one's fine with me. And to be honest, if it weren't for this flesh, I'd really be standing in line to see Jesus. But we've overcome the world in Christ. He brought us the victory. And we overcome the world daily in the love of God, in the love of the Godhead, in the love of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, and the love we have with each other. That is so very important. I look forward all week to being here and seeing you. This is our joy, to love one another as Christ has loved us. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth, this is cut and dried, that Jesus is the Son of God. Go back to verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Here in verse 1, he's called the Christ of God. We talked about God's Christ last week. He's called the Word in chapter 7, the living Word of God. God in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image. Who was speaking? The persons of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Get more on that in a moment. But Jesus is the Son of God. God is eternal. He's always been the Father. He's always been the Son. He's always been the Holy Spirit. The three persons of the Godhead. God does not change. Talking to the Jews, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you bear that in mind, that was given by the last prophet of the Old Testament when they were in bondage to another nation and God had not forsaken them. He that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God, not just the eternal Son of God, but the Son of God, born of the woman. Last week, Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive. Mary brought forth the virgin from the seed of David, brought forth the Christ child. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says we're begotten of God because we're born of the Spirit of God. This same body, which is carried away in sin, is quickened, and we're a new creature. We're given a different nature. We're adopted into the nature of Christ from the nature of Adam. But Christ was conceived of God, the Holy Spirit, as it overpowered, as it overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and he is the only begotten Son of God. The text is dealing with Jesus Christ. This is he that came by water and blood. Many people, and I have no problem with what I'm going to tell you, many people will say this relates to the baptism of Christ, not of John the Baptist, but as he was in the water after he was baptized of John, that the Spirit descended upon him in fullness in the shape of a dove. And of course, the blood being the blood of Christ. I see this text as dealing with Christ. Christ was born into this world. He laid aside the glory of the Godhead. He took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh. He was made flesh, the living Word of God. He suffered. He bled. There's the blood, because of without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He bled for us. I will accept that. I will take that as gospel. But I tell you what I believe the text refers to in my heart, because it is dealing with the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Christ. This is He that came by water and blood. Remember John 3, the Lord talking to Nicodemus, said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How is he born of water? How? I believe that's what this text is talking about. Came by water and blood. The living Word of God was made flesh. God put seed in Mary. He was in the water of the birth sac in her womb. He was conceived. He lived there through gestation and was born into this world. This is He that came by water. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born of the water from your mother's womb. You have to be conceived. And then you have to be born of the Spirit. There are those that die in the womb that are in heaven in immortal glory with God in heaven. They will never see the sin and death of this sin-cursed earth. They will never walk, even though they have an inherited sin, because their mama and daddy were sinners. Even though they have an inherited sin, God blesses them that they never taste sin walking in this world. And I say that to make the point, I'm speaking of conception in the mother's womb. He that is came by water, living being, and blood. Make that point. Christ was conceived of the Spirit of God in the body of the Virgin Mary, because her womb was not contaminated by man. His father was not Joseph. It was the Holy Spirit. This is He that came by God. This is He that came by water. He was born in this world in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin. And blood. He came by birth and the nature of man. He came to us. He came to God. Remember Isaiah 9:6, or was it 6:9? 9:6. Dyslexia, bear with me. For unto us a son is born. He came unto us to save us from our sins. In His birth, in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. When He was born, the angels of heaven were there rejoicing, giving glory to God. He was born. He died. He shed His blood. This is He that came by water and blood. Then He tells you who He's talking about. Even Jesus Christ, the Christ of God. Verse 1 of chapter 5. This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only. I'm going to tell you, you compare that to someone in the world. You take the police right now, are so greatly hated by mankind in this society that's turned away from God. You take the law enforcement officer. He's born of water. Let me make a point with that. He born of water. He came from the womb. He spends his life, most of them, trying to serve mankind. But he dies. He dies. And he's no more in this world. Okay? But this is He, Christ Jesus, that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, not only by being born, but by water and blood. He was not just here. He did not just save us. He did it in His death. He shed His blood for us and was raised up from the grave by the Holy Spirit of God. And it is the Spirit, because remember, we're talking about doctrine here. We're talking about true doctrine versus all the lies of the world and the winds of doctrine that every kind of ism, Arminianism, absolutism, whatever, liberalism, communism, whatever they teach you, they're lies. We're talking about Christ, who is the truth of God. And it is the Spirit of God. And right here he's talking about doctrine and true doctrine. So let's go a little deeper with that. He's talking about the Spirit that gives the gift of the ministry. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of anointing, the Holy Ghost. Prove that in the next verse. It is by water and blood, and it is the Spirit of God that beareth witness. God calls the ministry. God enables the ministry. We don't need seminars and seminaries to teach us some lie or some false teaching of man. And a love of money and fame and power to man. That's no different than Adam was deceived. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt be as gods. We're not as gods, we're creatures, and at that, we're fallen creatures. The Spirit enables the man. The Spirit preaches the sermon. When I leave here, I'm so exhausted, I go home and sleep 3 hours. You can verify that with my wife. I'm more tired when I leave church in a peaceful way than I have ever been in any job or anything I ever did. I've gone to work working 12-hour shifts years ago. You come home, get to sleep, and go back to work. You were tired. But when the Spirit of God goes through one, it makes him exhausted. The Spirit is the point I'm trying to make. Bears witness. Witness of what? Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the man born of a woman, God being his Father. The Spirit bears witness of Christ because the Spirit of truth. Remember John, I think, 14? Well, the Lord said it was expedient that he should go away. Because if he did not go away, the Father would not send the Comforter. I'm paraphrasing this. He would not send the Holy Ghost to comfort us, to teach us, to love us, to dwell in us, that we love each other, that we love God, to teach us of former things. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God, and all that Christ is, and all the salvation of God. The Spirit bears witness, and the Spirit is truth. Now, talk about the Godhead. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. There's a favorite saying people like to use. Not taking it in the text it's in. But I will agree with it anyway. Our churches have gotten so small in this sin-cursed nation that God is so richly blessed. It's come about in my lifetime that, well, the Lord said, where two or three are gathered together, I will be among you. And that is true. That is true. God does not forsake us. But the text taken is in Matthew 18, and it's talking about judgment, how we are to judge each other. And you know the text there. I don't have to get into it. If your brother's got aught against you, go talk to him. If he don't hear you, take two or three of the church. If he don't hear that, then you take it to the church. That's how we're to judge in this world. This all goes back to the law that, and it had to be two or three witnesses to judge. You could not put a man who was worthy of death to death without two or three witnesses. Three is the number. Three. Can be more, but three is the number. There are three here bearing record of God's judgment. For there are three that bear record in heaven above. The Father, the Creator of heaven and earth, yes. The Creator of all mankind, yes. He who gives us the Spirit and is our Heavenly Father, yes. But the text is making him in the Godhead the Father. A father must have a son. The Father and the Word, who is the Son of God. I've heard people say, well, he was the living Word, but Christ was created. No, Christ is not created. Again, I am the Lord and I change not. There are many names that Christ has. What he has as a name is, has always been, and always will be. He has always been the second person of the Godhead. He has always been the living Word of God. He has always been the Son of God. We see him pre-incarnate in Scripture, walking in the garden with Adam, sitting with Abraham in the heat of the day in the tent door.
We see him standing before Joshua with a sword in his hand. I am the captain of the Lord's host. He is eternal. He is called the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. God the Father is the Father of the Son, who is the living Word by which the worlds were framed, and who was made flesh for the suffering of death, for us, for our benefit, and the Holy Ghost. This covenant was made in the realm of eternity. As man, we cannot understand that. I know this, eternity is. It's never started. It will never end. I believe myself that eternity is all present tense. What we see is yet to come. God sees as it is. He said in Isaiah 45, declaring the end from the beginning. Now, I say that to make the point, as I've tried to say before, in eternity, because time's created for us, there's never been a time, to use an earthly feeble word, that God did not love His people. There's never been a time that God had not given His people to His Son. There's never been a time that the Son did not love them and agree to die for them. There's never been a time that the third person of the Godhead sealed the covenant of love. There's never been. We try to talk about amongst ministers time and eternity. I am not smart enough to touch that. Time is created here for us. I don't know what God, I do know what God calls it, eternity, and that's good enough for me. But there's never been a time that God did not love His people. There's never been a time when that covenant was not made. There's never been a time that God's people were not sure in the sure mercies of David and the blood of the Lamb of God. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Lord help me. What are they bearing record of, first place? They are bearing record of God. We go to 1 Timothy, I believe, 3:16. For without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That is Christ, the Son of God, begotten from the womb. Back again to Isaiah 7:14, a virgin should conceive. That was Mary, the child. His name would be called Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, which being interpreted is God with us. God came with us, to us. Unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. He is the Father, the first person of the Godhead. He bears record of the Son. The Son, the living Word. When Christ was baptized, I think Mark chapter 1, Matthew chapter 3, two places quickly you can look and find when Christ was baptized in the River Jordan by He who was sent to prepare the way before Him, John the Baptist. John baptized Him in the River Jordan. There was a voice from heaven. Here is manifested the Godhead. The Father spake. A booming voice that would pale the voice of man. This is my Son. There's proof He is the Son of God, in whom I am well pleased. You also, at the same time, see manifested by their eyes, the Father by ear, speaking from heaven. The second person of the Godhead is in the River Jordan, just been baptized. There's two separate, Father in heaven, Son in earth. And the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, coming down upon Him in fullness, for He had no sin, and could bear the fullness of the Spirit because He is God Himself. And you see all three of the Godhead in one place, proving the Trinity, proving the Godhead. And then we see in Matthew 17, when Christ was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and they saw Him in His glory, if you please, the brightness of His glory. He was whiter than any light. He was whiter than the snow and the pure righteousness of the Godhead. And there was Moses and Elijah. Peter said, let us make three altars, one for you and one for them. And again, proof that Christ is the Son of God. The voice came from heaven. This is my... Who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. Beloved Son, I believe the text says, hear ye Him. Two proofs that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father created the creation. Christ is the second creation. All things were made by Him, first and second, and it will be Him that carries us to glory. The third heaven. The third earth. The first earth was passed away. 2 Peter 3, is it? Where it was in a flood. Where we live now is the second earth, second world. We look for third, wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's that number three again. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Father will not send you another comforter. And I'm messing that all up, but I'm going verbatim. He would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. Let me find that. I don't want to leave the third one out, and I can't think of it. John 14. God would send the Holy Ghost. God would send the Holy Spirit. I'll start with verse 11. John 14. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father in heaven. And he comes on down. Where is it? He talks about, here it is, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Whose name? The Son of God. He shall teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of Christ. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace. This is what we have from the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. And by the way, while we're mentioning this, all three persons have deity. All three persons bear glory. All three persons are God. One God. I'm trying to find where it said he would reprove the world of sin, of righteousness. And I don't see it because I can't see right now. He will teach you all things. That's my fault. You lay that to my charge. The Lord don't make mistakes. I should have read it when it hit my mind this morning. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive. Catch that, because it seeth him not. I will not leave you comfortless. Sin and righteousness. I might find the third one. That bothers me. But I'm going back to my text regardless. That's my fault. My fault. These three are one. Father, Word, Holy Spirit. This is the mystery of godliness. I cannot explain this to you. I cannot tell you how this is. We'll stand in heaven in immortal glory, and we'll see Christ who manifests God. And I don't believe we'll ever understand the fullness of God. We will forever in heaven in immortal glory stand in awe of God and the Godhead and Jesus Christ, the born Son of God, and never understand Him in fullness. And I believe that. That makes me want to go look for that, and I'll have to do it some other time. Maybe it's in 16. But anyway, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is the Godhead in its deity, each separate person. yet together. Well, he just became that and to reveal himself to us. No. Genesis 1, in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. There's the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's always been. It will always be. And there are three, now catch this, remember what we're talking about, doctrine, peace, joy, and the gospel. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. There's three bearing the witness to God. There's three bearing the judgment of God. Two or three witnesses. Here are three. It's complete. It's perfect. For there are three that bear witness in earth. Here in the kingdom of God, where we live in this temporal earth of sin and darkness. I am so glad to have the knowledge of Christ in this world. First of all, the love of Christ constraineth us. And when I get angry and I want to drive somewhere and fix something I've got no business being involved in, speaking of all these riots and things, the love of Christ constraineth me because I realize it would bring dishonor to God and to the church, and therefore I do not do that. That's not my nature. That's the love of God that constrains me, that constrains us. But there are three that bear witness. Of what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, born of the Virgin. There are three that bear witness in earth, here where we live. The Spirit of God, the gift of the ministry, the gift of the gospel, the gift of preaching, the gift that gives you understanding. Everybody, every child of God has a different gift, and they're all important. Read Ephesians 4, they all work together. That's the way God made it. That's the way God purposed it. That's the way it is. One gift's not greater than another. They're all there together in Christ to bear witness. That's what we're here for, to bear witness. Let's go back a few verses. When we love God, when we love each other, we bear witness to the Son of God that loved us and died for us and will deliver us in heaven in immortal glory. We bear witness to Christ when we're separate from the world and strive to walk with God as we live in this sin-cursed earth while others are looking at us as we're old fuddy fools and don't have a brain and don't understand why we don't love the things of the world like they do. There are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit of God and the water and the blood. Okay? Now I've read this. I would accept this. Okay? I will accept this. Many of our forefathers believe this. Many today believe this. I will accept this. And I believe it too, but I'm going a little farther with it. For there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water. It's related that to come into the kingdom of God and bear witness to Christ, one must be baptized, and this water is the water of baptism. But this says the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the blood is, of course, to me, it's got to be the blood of Christ. One writer relates it to the communion and bearing witness to Christ and taking communion, and I'm fine with that. Let's get down to my what I call brass tacks. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit of God and the water and the blood. This text is about the Son of God being our Savior. The life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Son of God who saved sinners, who saved His people from their sins. The Spirit of God bears witness in the preaching of the gospel and every the way we live and everything the Spirit does. And the water and the blood. Christ hanged upon the cross of Calvary. The next day being a Sabbath, the Jews, in their religious zeal without a knowledge of God, petitioned Pilate or one of the soldiers that they would break their legs and kill them, that they would not be upon the cross at night, the next day being the Sabbath. So they wouldn't be seen hanging on the cross on the holy Sabbath day in the law, which they had corrupted. Corrupted so much, and most people can't see it. They went to the Jews, went to the Romans at any rate, break their legs. They break the legs of the malefactors, but when they came to the Christ, the anointed Son of God, he was dead already. What does that prove us? John 10. I have the power to lay my life down. I have the power to raise it up again. In the sense of us delivering him up to be crucified, no, I'm not a Jew. The Jews delivered him up. But I have a thought in my heart and soul that he died for me, and I'm a sinner. So therefore, I'm just as guilty of his death as the Jews. Okay? When they came up to him, they pierced his side, and there came out blood and water. Around the heart, there's a coroner will tell you, I'll call it a sack for lack of a better word, and there's water around it. He had the power to lay his life down. We didn't have the power to kill him. He's God. We did not have the authority to kill him. He's God. God suffered that. And God, as he most often, as he always does, overturned their wickedness and their evil and their sin and brought deliverance in his power. 22nd Psalm. I'll start with verse 14. I'm poured out like water. He was hanging. All my joints are out of joint. Hanging, his joints out of joint. All my bones were out of joint. My heart, catch that. They pierced his side and there came out blood and water. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my body, my bowels. He laid his life down. The blood began to separate from the water. When they pierced his side, there came out blood and water. They did not kill him. He laid his life down and raised it up again 3 days later. But my point in this text is the spirit and the water and the blood that came from his side agree in one. They bear witness and they agree in one that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that he finished, John 19 and 30, the work he came into the world to do. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one, Christ. If we receive the witness of men, and we do daily. Men get on TV and talk. Most times we're deceived. Men talk here, men talk there, preachers preach. If we receive the witness of men, I believe that man, the witness of God is greater. Revelation 3:14. The witness of God. Christ, Revelation 3:14, the faithful witness, the Amen. That means I said it, Amen, it is. There's the living Word. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, and that witness is preached to you by the Holy Spirit of God through Christ. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son, Jesus Christ, the man. Salvation does not come, eternal life, let me rephrase that, does not come from our goodness or our righteousness, for there's dirty rags been beneath his feet. It does not come from the church life, eternal life, or the Sunday school, or the preacher. It doesn't come by anything other than Christ. Now, there's a purpose for the church, and there's a salvation in the church, but it's temporally. And even it gives glory to God. He that believeth on the Son of God. You catch that? Those that are born of the Spirit of God. A lot of people born of the Spirit of God walk around in fear. The faith of God is not exercised. Now, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. I stood in tornadoes at work 60 foot from me sucking trees up. I had to. It was my job. I'm not going to run out in the middle of a tornado now. I don't have to. I'm not going to tempt the Lord. But I'm not going to walk around in fear because Jesus Christ is my Savior. Kill me and I'll be with Him now. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, that is the Spirit of God. He that believeth not God, this is cut and dried, hath made him a liar. That's not to say that God is a liar. God cannot lie. That is saying that in their testimony, their unbelief, their rebellion against God, they're declaring in their own heart and mind that God is a liar, not being able to see that God is truth. Because it's not given to them to know that God is truth. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that, catch this, the record that God gave of His Son. My goodness, what a love. And this is the record. Now you catch this, and I'll close, and we'll start here next week. And this is the record recorded in heaven. Remember verse 7? There are three that bear record in heaven. This is the record that God Himself bears witness to of the Son. My Father beareth witness of me, He told the Jews. This is the record that God hath given to us in Christ, eternal life, life that will never end. We can preach from now to the day the Lord comes back and never fully manifest an understanding of that. It is beyond our ability to comprehend while we live in this world. But this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and here's the glory to Christ, and this life is in His Son. We'll take it up next week there. Now, let me go one more. And I'll back up to 11 anyway next week probably. But make this cut and dried. He that hath the Son hath life. He that's born of God hath life. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ hath life. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Then you have life. You have life in this world. A life abundant in the kingdom of God. And you have eternal life in heaven and immortal glory. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I'm going to close with that.